offering a most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai with Sai Prakash. We are here to host the show for you. And we begin by thanking you for joining us. And we are in a special discourse. We completed the 1990 summer course series as we had endeavored in the beginning. But we have taken a special discourse, which is the Guru Purnima discourse of the same year, 1990. And as those of you who have followed us will realize that this is a beautiful summary for the series, the 1990 summer course series, and that is the reason why we've taken it. And there is another mysterious reason. That's not, in a sense, it's not the reason, but it was a thrill for us, which we'll reserve for the final episode of this discourse. So to talk about this discourse, to play more clips from this discourse, I invite Brother Sai Prakash. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem. Yes, as you're just mentioning, it's been quite a journey. And it's like, you know, the blossoming of a rose, I would say, or a flower, mm-hmm. where there are so many stages of, you know, your knowledge is just unfolding. And we have been, you know, imbibing a lot of what Swami has said in this series. The amazing part is for all those years when we heard Swami's discourses, you know, one thing for sure we enjoyed was his sweet voice. But beyond that, I really don't know how many of us imbibed and took in. You know, it's interesting. Just a little digression from here. Mm-hmm. One of our brothers was telling us that on one of those days, one of the school teachers took some of the students to Swami. Mm-hmm. And they told Swami, he told Swami, "Swami, these boys were sleeping during your discourse."
Okay.
And then Swami said, "So what?" And he said, "Swami, you were giving a discourse and these boys were sleeping." And Swami says, "But that's the best way to listen to my discourse." And the teacher was in for a surprise because...
without our knowledge, we were all listening to it the right way.
I mean, then Swami explained. Swami said, as long as you are awake and you're awake, your mind is busy. And although you're sitting there in front of me, your mind is elsewhere. But then when you start listening to my discourse, and even if you slip into sleep, the message goes into your subconscious. And this is something which Swami had told him at that time. Swami said, try to make the students listen to my discourse just before they go to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
And they will automatically, the knowledge what Swami is giving will go into their system. In fact, the brother who was involved in this incident and who was there, mm-hmm. he was just sharing. He said, how nice it would be if we could have discourses with only Swami's voice, with not even the translator's voice. You know, in the 60s, Swami would give discourses where we had only Telugu.
Right.
And Swami's discourse would flow like Ganga itself. That's what many people told us. But we have a few recordings where we can hear that. Just to listen to Bhagawan's voice and just slip into sleep. It's so amazing. And, you know, when Swami is talking in this discourse about the three states of deep sleep, and then waking state.
Mm-hmm.
The waking state. It's very interesting because, you know, in a sense, what Swami is telling you is, when you're awake and you think, this is what I am, that's really not what you are. Because even when you fall asleep and Swami's message is able to go to your subconscious, he says that deeper subconscious, that deeper I, that is what you really are. It's quite different and very subtle from what we actually think we are.
Very true. I think last week when we had Mr. V.S. Sarumurthy, he was mentioning that point when why there is so much of emphasis on the Brahma Muhurtam.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the time when your inner faculty starts waking up,
mm-hmm.
and the activity of your senses and the mind which is related to the senses is much lower.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, you know, that's exactly what I think Swami was saying, that invariably when we listen to a discourse or mm-hmm. a spiritual talk. Constantly you have this mind which is, you know, reacting to the information which is coming in.
Correct.
And what goes in is actually the react, the product of that reaction.
Correct.
Not what actually comes in.
Comes from Swami. Yes.
You know, all your experiences, your belief systems, your dogmas and your preconceived notions, they kind of clash with this new source of knowledge, of new body of knowledge which is coming. And what is the result of that only goes in.
Correct.
And I think when Swami was saying that it's the best way if you can listen when asleep. That is, the idea was that when your mind is not active,
correct,
but you're able to take in.
Correct.
And as you said, I think that's the most beautiful point, you know, that just like how in a day the twilight is supposed to be very important.
In fact, in this series, I think in one of these discourses in the 1990s, Swami says that the morning Brahma Muhurtam, when you are half asleep and half awake,
exactly,
he says that state is what comes very close to the state of Turyavastha. So the fourth stage that is beyond the waking sleep and deep sleep is Surya. And he said the experience that comes closest to that is in during the state of just when you're just awakening, when you're just getting up and you're not fully awake, you're not fully asleep, a dream-like, semi-dream-like state. He says a realized person will stay in that state continuously, all the time. He's constantly in that state where he just looks at the world and knows it's just a dream. And he is.
Exactly. As once, I think many times we mentioned this before, that it was once... I think Swami had mentioned once, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. First you have to do the Shravanam.
Correct.
When the Shravanam is happening, Mananam should not interfere.
Correct.
And I think that's a, that is a practice in itself, the art of listening. I think that's a yoga in itself.
Correct.
Coming to this discourse, there's quite a discourse this one is, where Swami is... literally rushing through all those themes and topics which he mentioned in the 1990 series.
Correct.
But the beautiful thing is still there is so much of freshness.
Yes.
You know, you still cannot say that this is just a, you know, a kind of a summary in the sense of essence.
Correct.
But not in the sense of content.
Correct.
Swami is hardly repeating some of the analogies which he gave there.
Correct.
And you know, it's, that way it's a very refreshing discourse too.
Yeah, after Swami initially starts with the five elements and the three states, the three bodies, that is Stula Sharira, Sukshma Sharira and Karana Sharira, then he goes on to this, how the mind is what creates all the states.
Right.
See, he says there are three bodies and he says these are the three states, but then he goes on to say, but all this is just the mind.
Right.
It's the mind that he actually creates, and he says, if you go and scold your friend saying, why did you harass me in the dream? Friend will say, where did I come? But it's your mind that created the dream. And similarly, he says, what you see in your waking is also a dream.
Right. This is interesting thing, I mean, just for our listeners, in just reading up, I just realized there's a discourse in the 1993 Samukho series,
okay,
which is very aptly entitled, The Mysteries of the Mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, there the entire discourse, Swami actually talks about these various aspects of the mind which is active in the different states.
Okay.
There Swami gives a very beautiful point. He says, what happens in the functioning of the mind when you're awake? And Swami gives the example of, let's say that you are traveling to Bombay for the work.
Okay.
Okay. And Swami says, first thing is, you know the reason you're traveling. So Swami says, there is Karana.
Yes.
Okay. And then Swami says, the time that you take to travel, the experiences which are involved in that. So Swami says, there's Kala, that is time.
Time.
And then you go for a certain purpose, you complete that task.
Okay.
So Swami says, there's Kartavyam.
Okay.
There is duty. And he says, and these are the things which, and the action which you perform to complete that, that is Karma, Swami says.
Yes.
So these four things form the, you know, aspect of the waking state.
Correct.
So Swami says, imagine the same thing happens in the dream. You know, you're going to Bombay for a work. Swami will say,
there's no Kala.
Any scene, any part of the dream you take, you can't find out the reason why you're doing it.
Correct.
You can't feel the time which is passing.
Correct.
You're not feeling the action which is being done.
Yes.
Nor there is, you know, the reason behind it. And I can't help but recollect this very theme which is carried in that movie called Inception.
Yeah, that's right.
They talk of the dreams. I mean, the whole movie's screenplay is about the play between the dream and the waking state. In that, there is this scene where they, very often it is repeated. It's saying, if you are in doubt whether you are in the dream or in the waking state, because most of them, they go into the dream state, they don't know where they are. So he says the best way to find out is, ask yourself, how did you come into this place? And the moment you realize that you're not able to figure out how you entered that scene, it's a dream.
It's a dream.
So, literally, that's what Swami says, that, you know, that is the different thing. And that's the beauty. Even if you talk of our waking state, in the bigger sense, that is, these are the four things we are looking for. We are looking for the reason why we came here. We are looking for how much time we are spending here. You know, the importance of that time, importance of that space. So literally what Swami is asking us to do in the dream state, even in the waking state, if we do, maybe we will realize that this is a dream too.
That's right. That's right. Because time is what gives... time is what gives, you know, the continuity of memory.
Right.
As Nisargadatta Maharaj says,
he
says, you have memory, but what gives it continuity is your is the time, the illusion of time, that and you start believing in your memory. And you say, okay, this happened, that happened, that happened, so this is going to happen.
Right.
So every action that you're, you know, projecting or anticipate is based on memory. He says desires and fears. So it's desires that keep you going forward, and it's fears of memory. The memory causes fear, and desires is what keeps you going forward.
And I think that is the beauty of, you know, the mind, if we can go on talking about it. Even in the earlier series when Swami spoke about the mind, you know, he spoke about buddhi, which the main role of which was to reason, to discriminate. But the idea was to go beyond that state of reasoning, as you're saying, to break that cycle of cause and effect.
Correct.
You know, this was the reason this happened. This is what caused this. This will be the result of this action.
That's caused by memory.
Right. And that has to be broken, but that can be achieved through the process of this buddhi discriminating.
True.
And, you know, that is the essence of this whole thing. And even in the discourse which I mentioned, Swami speaks about the four aspects of the mind. I think elsewhere also Swami has spoken. I think very, very beautifully, very clearly. There are other people who have written about it, and it's, you know, as Anil Kumar sir would beautifully say, if you read that literature about the mind, you will say, never mind. But Swami puts it so beautifully. He says that Swami says that, you know, the super mind, the higher mind, the illumination mind, and the over mind.
Oh.
So Swami would say, the super mind is that which is body consciousness. That which relates only to the body, which is there even in an animal.
Correct.
Then Swami says, higher mind is thought consciousness. That is not bound to the body. It can travel anywhere. And that is what is active in the dream. So Swami would say, you know, even to reach the higher mind, you have to go through the super mind. It is not by rejecting the super mind, but with the help of the super mind you go to the higher mind. With the help of the super and the higher mind, you go towards the illumination mind. And Swami says illumination mind is when you realize that everything that is happening in me is being illuminated by that divinity within.
Okay, amazing.
And he says even that is not the final thing. The next thing is over mind. And you realize, as beautifully Swami gives that analogy, the same air which is within you is also without you. When you stop relating to the air within you and relate to the air outside, that becomes overmind.
Overmind, okay. Interesting. And in this discourse, of course, after a mention about the mind, Swami goes on to give example of, he talks about the different koshas.
Right.
Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha. And he relates it to the three bodies. That is a gross body, subtle body, and the causal body.
Causal body.
And, you know, it's very interesting because this is what you are not. And then Swami says the Atma which is there is totally unaffected by all this. The Atma which is there, he says, is just a witness. And it's like the sun. He says the sun is just not affected by the activities done with the help of the sunlight. Yes, you have all this causal body, gross body, subtle body, and you have so many actions and individuals doing actions. But the Atman is totally unaffected. It's just a witness.
Right.
And it's like the sun that is just witnessing all the activities being done in its own light. What an example. Of course, Swami goes on to the concept of Atma and Hridaya. And he says it is omnipresent. And the I, the Aham. He says the Aham is what is omnipresent. And that Aham is Brahman.
Right.
And before that, Swami actually talks about how it is the illusion of, it's like the husk covering the rice. The moment the husk is removed, you get the rice. So the Atman is always there, and it's like something that comes. And he says when the water vapor evaporates and forms the clouds, it covers the sun.
Right.
So similarly, it's just an illusion that's covering the sun, and we associate ourselves with this illusion.
Right.
So a moment you go beyond that, I think that's what you are.
And then Swami gives that analogy of, you cannot search for a lamp with the help of another lamp.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that lamp has to be sought after by its own effulgence.
Correct.
You have something which is glowing, you're looking for it in the dark.
Mm.
You know, its glow should
reveal
its own presence. It's not another lamp which will show the thing to you. And Swami says that's the mistake we all do.
Mm.
We do sadhana with the idea that this sadhana will, show us that lamp.
Correct. So of course, then since it was a Guru Purnima discourse, Swami comes back to the theme of the Guru. And he says that it's like Purnima, referring to Purnima, he says, it's like the black spots on the moon is like the 16 aspects. That is the, 6 enemies. Then you have 2 gunas, rajas and tamas. And the 8 types of mada, that is pride.
Right.
And then he says these form the 16 kalas, or the 16 attributes that you should not have.
Right.
And these are what is present in the moon. And here he gives very beautiful analogy. He explains about who the guru actually is. And he says, your guru is within yourself. Your true guru is God alone. And he says, the whole philosophy of life and existence is revealed to you in your very breath, in your breathing. And he chants that Soham very beautifully, as Swami always does. And he says, that clearly says, I am that. And then he says, the mantra, yantra and tantra. He says, what is the need for any other mantra, yantra, tantra? The mantra is Soham. The yantra, the instrument, is your body. And tantra is your heart. So,
this is beautiful. In fact, the wonderful analogies which Swami gave all through is the standout in this discourse also, I think.
Yes.
I think in that, talking about sleep, another thing which Swami mentions is, even when he's talking about the Guru, he's saying one night's good sleep, a good deep sleep, how much it refreshes you.
Mm.
Imagine if you're able to get rid of this mind.
Correct.
Completely. That's the beauty of this discourse, and in general about Vedanta, especially of writers like Adi Shankara. They bring experience which is tangible, which you have gone through, and in the basis of that, or juxtaposing that,
like pointers.
Right.
These are pointers.
Right. And then they show what it is to have the ultimate form of that experience.
Amazing.
So we'll go to the next clip in that discourse.
నీ గురువు దైవం ఒక్కడే. యువర్ గురు ఈజ్ గాడ్. ఆ గుణాతీతుడు అతడు ఒక్కడే. హీఈస్ అలోన్ హూ హాస్
ట్రాన్స్‌సెండెడ్.
అతడు ఒక్కడే. హీఈస్ ద వన్ హూ డస్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ రియల్.
అజ్ఞానం అనేటువంటి యొక్క దీనిని దూరం చేసి ప్రజ్ఞానం అనేటువంటి ప్రకాశాన్ని అందించేవాడు అతడు ఒక్కడే.
హీ అలోన్ కెన్ రిమూవ్ ది డార్క్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ అండ్ కన్ఫర్ ద లైట్.
అంతే కాని ఈ అల్పమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఇతరులను ఆశ్రయించి నీవు గురుబోధనగా తీసుకుని తద్వారా నీవు మరింత బంధితుడు కావటము, ఇది పూర్ణ అజ్ఞానమే.
ఇట్ వుడ్ బి ఎ గ్రేట్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ ఇఫ్ యు అప్రోచ్ రాంగ్ పర్సన్స్ అండ్ టేక్ సమ్ మంత్ర అండ్ బికమ్ ఫర్దర్.
వారే సర్వ బంధనంలో ఇమిడినటువంటి వారు నీ బంధనలు ఏ రీతిగా విమోచించగలరు?
A person who is himself in bondage, how can he free you?
అనేక భ్రాంతులతో కూడినటువంటి వ్యక్తి నీ భ్రాంతిని ఏ రీతిగా నిర్మూలం గావించగలడు?
A person who is full of delusions, how can he free you from delusions?
తానే బిచ్చమెత్తుతుంటే నీ యొక్క పొట్టకు అన్నం అందించేటువంటి వాడు అవుతాడా?
If he is himself a beggar and starving, how can he feed you?
కనుక నీవు గురువుల కోసం నీ వెతకనక్కర్లేదు.
Do not go in search of guru.
నీ ఆత్మభావాన్ని నీవు దృఢం చేసుకో.
Confirm and steady your
ఆత్మానందమునకై నీవు ప్రాకులాడు.
Aspire to have the bliss of
నేనే ఆత్మ అనేటువంటి విశ్వాసం అభివృద్ధి పరచుకో.
Develop the feeling that you are yourself the ఆత్మ.
అదే నిజమైనటువంటి యొక్క బోధ.
That is the real message.
మర్మమెరిగిన మనసింశములో మనసే వారికి గురుడండి.
The moment
ఆ సత్యాన్ని గుర్తించుకున్న తర్వాత ఆ మనసే మాయమవుతుంది. అదే నిజమైన గురుత్వం.
The moment that you really know who you are, mind disappears and that it really becomes
kaani. Ee gurutvamunaku okka kaalamu okka sthanamu okka neemamu aneetundi ledu.
For this gurutva there is nothing like a particular time, a particular circumstance or any such
manomayamainatundi manavunake tellavari madhyanamu ratri.
For a man who is full of this mind alone, different times
manomayamainatundi valiki ivanni kudunu bandhanalu.
All these bondages are only for
manodhitamainatundi atheetamainatundi valiki edi ledu sarvam okkate.
Transcend the mind, everything becomes the same.
Atti sthitiki manam aatmavishwasam chetane manam labhyamavutundi.
Only when we have self confidence we can attain that state.
Prema swaroopulara guru poornimanaga కేవలము గురువులను పూజించడం మాత్రమే గురు పూర్ణిమ యొక్క అంతరార్థంగా భావిస్తున్నాము.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ డివైన్ లవ్. వీ ఆర్ కన్సిడరింగ్ వర్షిపింగ్ గురుస్ ఇస్ అన్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్ ఆఫ్ గురు పూర్ణిమ.
ఈ గురు పౌర్ణమి వచ్చిందంటే గురువులకు చాలా ఆదాయం.
వెన్ దెర్ ఇస్ గురు పూర్ణిమ దెర్ బి అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్కమ్ ఫర్ దిస్ సో కాల్డ్.
కానీ నిజంగా ఇది గురువులకు ఆదాయం కాదు, ఇది గొప్ప బంధన.
For a true guru, this is a great responsibility. There is no income for him.
నిజ గురువులు దీనిని ఆశించరు.
True gurus will never aspire to have this.
ఇవి కేవలం బాధ గురువులు మాత్రమే దీనిని ఆశిస్తారు.
Only this lowly type of gurus will aspire to have this kind of income on this Guru Purnima days.
కనుక మనము గురు పూర్ణిమ అనగా గురువులను పూజించడం అంటే గురువు ఒక్కడే. త్వమేవ మాతా చ పితా త్వమేవ త్వమేవ బంధు చకత్వమేవ తమే విద్యా ద్రవణం తవేవ తమేవ సర్వం మమ దేవ దేవ. ఆ యొక్క స్థితిని పోవటమే సరి అయినటువంటి గురుత్వం.
ద రియల్ గురుత్వ ఈజ్ రికగ్నైజింగ్ దట్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ గురు హూ ఈజ్ ద మదర్ ఫాదర్ ది ప్రిసెప్టర్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్.
అయితే ఈ శ్రవణ మనల నితిధ్యాసలకు కొన్ని విధమైనటువంటి హద్దులు పెట్టుకోవాలి.
బట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు అబ్జర్వ్ సమ్ రూల్స్ అండ్ రెగ్యులేషన్స్ వెన్ వీఆర్ అండర్టేకింగ్.
కొన్ని సాధనలు సలపాలి.
శ్రవణ మనన నిధి ధ్యాస.
అంతేకాదు ఈ సాధన నిమిత్తమే నీవు గురువులను ఆశ్రయించనక్కర్లేదు.
ఫర్ డూయింగ్ సాధన యు నీడ్ నాట్ రిసార్ట్ టు గురుస్.
నిత్య సత్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క గురుత్వం నీ యందు అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి.
డెవలప్ ది ట్రూ గురుత్వ విచ్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్ యూ.
గురే లేని వాడికి గురువేం చేయగలడు?
ద వన్ హూ హాజ్ నో గోల్ అట్ ఆల్, వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ దట్ ది గురు కెన్ డూ?
గురువుల వలన మనం ఏదో గమ్యము చేరుతామనుకోవటం ఇది ఒట్టి భ్రాంతి.
It is a type of delusion to think that we can reach the goal.
Nee sasakti valla, nee swabhavam valla, nee swasthyasam valla ne nee aa dagganmane cheradaniki avakasam untundi.
You can reach the goal only through your self effort, self confidence and self will.
Poolu soodi daramundi pushpamala tanaguna.
You have got flowers, needle and thread. Can they become a garland by itself?
కానీ దీన్ని కుట్టేవాడు ఒక ఉండాలి కదా.
దేర్ ఇస్ సమ్ వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ టు మేక్ ది గార్లెండ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్.
ప్రణతి నూనె ఒత్తి గలదు, దీపపు వెలుగు కలుగునా?
దేర్ ఇస్ ఎ కంటైనర్ ఆయిల్ అండ్ విక్, కెన్ ఇట్ లైట్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్?
దీన్ని అంటించేవాడు ఒక ఉండాలి కదా.
దేర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫర్ సమ్ వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ టు లైట్ దిస్.
స్వర్ణము రత్నాలు గలవు, సొమ్ములు నిర్మాణం అగునా?
దేర్ ఇస్ గోల్డ్ అండ్ డైమండ్స్, can jewelry be made by itself?
దీన్ని చేసేవాడు ఒక ఉండాలి కదా.
దేర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫర్ సమ్వన్ హూ కెన్ మేక్ దిస్.
కనుకనే నీ యొక్క భావములు విలువైనటువంటి అయినప్పటికీ దీనిని అన్ని విధములుగా చేర్చి కూర్చి ఆనందాన్ని అందించేటువంటి వాడు ఒక్క దైవమే.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ గాడ్ హూ కెన్ ఇగ్నైట్ అండ్ హూ కెన్ బ్రింగ్ అవుట్.
నీవు చేయవలసిన సాధన నువ్వు చేస్తూ దైవార్పితమైన భావంతో నీవు ఆరాధన సలిపినప్పుడు ఆ దైవమే నీకు సర్వమును బోధిస్తూ వస్తుంటాడు.
When you are discharging your duties, surrendering to God, God will
బోధించడమే కాదు సాక్షాత్కరిస్తాడు.
Not merely does he teach you, he will give you the real vision also.
సాక్షాత్కరించడం అంటే ఎక్కడ నుంచినో రావటం, ఎక్కడికో వచ్చి దర్శనం ఇవ్వటం కాదు.
When you say that getting a vision of a person, person doesn't come from somewhere.
సర్వత పాణిపాదం తర్వతం వచ్చే శిరోముఖం సర్వత స్తుతిమల్లోకి సర్వమావృత్తి. ఎక్కడ చూసినా ఉండేటువంటి వాడు పోయేది ఎక్కడికి, వచ్చేది ఎక్కడికి, ఇచ్చేది ఎక్కడికి.
When God is found everywhere, where has he to go? Where has he to come from?
తనకంటే భగవంతుడు వేరుగా ఉన్నాడు అనేటువంటి వానికి మాత్రమే ఎక్కడి నుంచి వచ్చాడు, ఎక్కడికి వచ్చి దర్శనం ఇచ్చాడు అనుకుంటున్నాం.
Only to a person who thinks that there is some God other than himself, God comes to him.
అల్పభావముల యొక్క స్వభావమే.
All such feelings are wrong feelings, narrow feelings.
దైవం సర్వత్రా ఉన్నది, నీవే దైవము.
God is everywhere. In fact, you are God.
ఈ శరీర ఇంద్రియ మనోబుద్ధుల యొక్క సంపర్కం చేత నీవు నీ సత్యాన్ని మర్చిపోతున్నావు.
ఇట్ ఇస్ ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ది అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ, మైండ్, సెన్సెస్ అండ్ ఇంటెలెక్ట్ యు ఆర్ ఫర్గెటింగ్ యువర్ రియల్ సెల్ఫ్.
కానీ నీవే ఈ మాయను కప్పుకుంటున్నావు.
And therefore you are deluded.
బయట ప్రపంచం నన్ను మాయలో ముంచుతున్నాదని భావిస్తున్నావు.
You are thinking that the external world is deluding you.
కదిలే మేఘాలను విస్తరించి కేవలము చంద్రుడు కదులుతున్నాడు అనుకుంటున్నాం మనం.
ఆన్ ద బేసిస్ ఆఫ్ ది మూవింగ్ క్లౌడ్స్ యు ఆర్ థింకింగ్ దట్ మూవ్
కదిలేది మేఘాలు.
ఇట్ ఇస్ ది క్లౌడ్స్ విచ్ మూవ్.
మనం రైల్లో కూర్చొని ప్రయాణం అవుతుంటుంటే మనం కదులుతుంటే చెట్లు గుట్టలు కదిలిపోయినట్టుగా కనిపిస్తుంటాయి.
వైల్ ట్రావెలింగ్ ఇన్ ఎ ట్రైన్ యూ గెట్ ది ఫీలింగ్ దట్ ది ట్రీస్ అండ్ ది మౌంటైన్స్ ఆర్ మూవింగ్ అండ్ నాట్ ద ట్రైన్ ఆర్ యూ.
కాదు కాదు, సర్వము మన యందే ఉంటున్నది.
ట్రూలీ స్పీకింగ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ విత్ ఇన్ అస్.
తనను తాను గుర్తించుకుంటే సర్వమును గుర్తించుకున్న వాడు అవుతాడు.
వన్స్ ఎ పర్సన్ రికగ్నైజెస్ హూ హీ రియలీ ఈజ్, హీ వుడ్ హావ్ అండర్స్టూడ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్.
అపరాధము మన దేహము చేతనే మనం బంధింపబడుతున్నాం.
వీఆర్ బౌండ్ బై అవర్ ఓన్ బాడీ.
మన మనస్సు చేతనే మనము బంధింపబడుతున్నాం.
వీఆర్ బౌండ్ బై అవర్ ఓన్ మైండ్.
కనుక ఈ మనోదేహం అనేటువంటి స్వభావాన్ని చక్కగా అర్థం చేసుకుంటే అంతా తానే అవుతాడు.
వన్స్ వీ రికగ్నైజ్ ది రియల్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ అండ్ మైండ్, we become what we really are, and that is everything.
Prema swarupulara, meer mukhyamga meer chintinchavalsindi okkate, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi. Ee yokka mantrani meer tappaga brahma swarupuliga martaru.
Embodiments of divine love, it is one mantra which you have to chant continuously, and that is aham brahma, aham brahma. Once you do it, you really become Brahma.
కేవలం మాటలతో నేనే బ్రహ్మ, నేనే బ్రహ్మ అనుకుంటే ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
బై మియర్లీ వర్డ్ ఆఫ్ మౌత్ యు డిక్లేర్ టు యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ దట్ యు ఆర్ బ్రహ్మ.
సత్యాన్ని గుర్తించి వర్తించాలి.
యు హావ్ టు రికగ్నైజ్ ది ట్రూత్ అండ్ దెన్ కండక్ట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ద లైట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ రికగ్నిషన్.
ఒక్కటి,
ట్రూలీ స్పీకింగ్ దర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ థింగ్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్.
ఈ ఏకత్వాన్ని మనం దృఢమైనటువంటి దీంతో ప్రేమించాలి.
వీ హావ్ టు లవ్ దిస్ యూనిటీ విత్ ఆల్ అవర్ హార్ట్.
ఆ ప్రేమనే ప్రేమను చేరుస్తుంది.
It is that love which will link up with the
prema lekunda manam denini pondadaniki veelu kaadu.
Without love we cannot reach anything else.
Kaana prema tattvanni manamu premaga maarchukovalanukunte prematone manam maarali.
If we want to reach love, we have to reach love only through love.
Idi kevalam manobhavani duram gaavinchukovali.
Make distant your own mind.
Itti nijatattvanni meeru gurtinchukoni ఎచ్చట ఉండినప్పటికీ, ఏ పని చేస్తున్నప్పటికీ, నేను ఈ అంగమును కేవలం ఒక ఉపాధులుగా భావించుకుని నేను ఆచరిస్తున్నాను అనేటువంటి యొక్క సత్యాన్ని మాత్రం మరవకుండా ఉండాలి.
వేర్ ఎవర్ యు ఆర్, వాట్ ఎవర్ వర్క్ యు ఆర్ డూయింగ్, యు డ్ ఆల్వేస్ కన్సిడర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ దిస్ లిమ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్స్ ఆర్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ అండ్ లివ్ ఇన్ దట్ ట్రూత్ అండ్ దట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్.
ప్రతి విషయమునందు కూడాను దేహం మనం కాదు, మనసు మనం కాదు, బుద్ధి మనం కాదు, ఇంద్రియం మనం కాదు, అంతఃకరణ మనం కాదు.
In everything that we do, we have to tell ourselves, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the senses, I am not the intellect, I am not the antakarana.
Ida bhagavantuni yokka gifts, bhagavantuni yokka bahumatulu ani bhavinchali.
We should always consider all these as gifts of God.
Veetini sadviniyoga parchukovali.
We have to put them to proper use.
Sadviniyogam ye reetiga,
how can you sanctify them?
Daivarpitamaina bhavamtho manam acharinchinappudu sarvam kudunu sadviniyogam avutundi.
When you do everything with a feeling of offering to God, everything becomes sanctified.
And that was the next clip in that discourse. Again, the emphasis on Aham Brahmasmi towards the end of the clip.
Correct.
I think most part of that clip was on the role of a guru and how the real guru is within.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, some very interesting points which Swami made there. He said, you know, it is only the person who considers himself separate from God will have the feeling that the vision of God is coming from outside.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered, you know, many times, one of the ways which Swami shows that he's divine,
okay,
he's separate from us, or he's different from us, in a way that it thrills us,
mm-hmm,
is through his omniscience.
Correct.
You know, when Swami starts talking things which you have never shared with anybody, which is, mm-hmm, your innermost secret,
correct,
you know, that is when it really strikes you that you're in the presence of God, but not in a sense of fear. I remember when we interviewed Brother Bharat Dutt, one of the alumni, he was sharing that he came from a family of devotees, and his parents were very devoted to Swami. His brother was already studying here, and that was the situation in which he came and became a student here.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, I was really fond of Swami.
Okay.
I had a lot of love for Swami,
but
still, I had not accepted him as God.
Okay.
You know, somewhere at the back of his mind, he was saying that how can a human being be adored and worshipped as God? You know, that was something which was always in the back of his mind.
Mm.
But he had never opened it up with anybody. Of course, he couldn't talk to his parents about it, and you know, he would be reprimanded for that blasphemy.
Okay.
He just kept it with him, and Swami also used to call him every now and then, speak to him, give him a lot of interviews and all that, but never this topic came up.
Mm-hmm.
So one day it seems Swami called the family for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was there, and his mother was there. Swami spoke to him, and after the interview everybody got up to leave. Swami looked at him and said, you sit for some time, let all of them go.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody got up and went away. Only this boy was there, and you know, very lovingly Swami said, sometimes you feel that how can Swami be God? Sometimes that feeling comes. So immediately this boy said, no, Swami, I mean, I know you're divine. And all that. Swami said, no problem. I mean, it's not wrong, nothing wrong about it.
Okay.
It comes, that feeling comes.
Mm.
In the sense, Swami is telling, you can tell me now, your mother is not here. You know, almost like that. Swami is, he felt very embarrassed that Swami was confronting him with this deep feeling which has been troubling him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of that conversation, suddenly Swami waved his hand and materialized a picture.
Okay.
And gave it to him.
Mm.
And he was absolutely shocked to see that picture because it was a picture of him standing behind a wall with his friend and smoking.
My goodness.
And then Swami explained the whole situation. Of course, one look at the picture, he knew what the thing was, because he had done it only once. It seems when he was in 10th standard or something, before he had become a student of Swami. Mm. He and his friend had bunked one day in school,
mm-hmm,
and secretly gone off to this movie.
Mm.
And in the intermission, they went, you know, behind the theater near a wall.
Mm.
He and his friend, for the first time, tried smoking.
Okay.
And they thought there was nobody around, and you know, this would be an episode which would just be between them and it would be gone.
Mm.
But here was Swami showing a photo of him smoking with his friend.
Amazing. Mm.
And the thing he said was, in one moment Swami proved to him that he was not just a lovable person, that he was somebody who was omniscient.
Mm.
And the second thing which hit him was, how much more lovable is Swami now? Because he said, this is the same Swami who for all these months has been giving me so much love. Because he knows my darkest secrets. But still he was loving me. He knows, you know, I mean, if this is one crap which I've done, he knows. He knows everything that I've done.
Right.
But still he's been showering so much love. He said, you know, that Swami in a moment became so much more lovable. At the same time, Swami also proved, you know, how much beyond human nature he really is.
Beautiful.
That's what it occurs to, you know, when we used to hear of such things, we used to think that Swami is omniscient. But when you listen to statements like this, which Swami is saying, I think all through, the omniscience and omnipresence of Swami was to remind us that I'm not seeing you from outside, I'm seeing you from inside.
From within, that's the point.
I'm the observer from within, not you know, somebody who is eavesdropping and somebody who is standing and overlooking you.
Correct. He would often say, where am I, Ra? Where am I? Where am I? You know, there's that beautiful video where Swami is, you know, in a very animated way, Swami is in Thrayi session. Swami is saying, he was actually taking some of the bhajans and he was saying, what is the meaning of this line?
Okay.
You know, people are not singing it right.
Right.
And Rama Rama Jai Raja Rama Raghava Mohana. Raghava Mohana, what is a Raghava Mohana? Shamala Komala.
Okay.
Swami is saying it should be Shamala Komala, Mega Shama. And so there were a few bhajans he was taking, those telling the singers to sing. And then Swami says, you think Sai Baba is sitting on the chair and closing his eyes and just waving his hand? He doesn't know. And everybody was laughing. Then in an instant Swami says, Sahasra Shirisha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapad Sabhum, where am I, sir? Thousand eyes, thousand hands, I am everywhere.
My God.
In a second, you know, the whole ambience was totally charged with his divinity. He was making fun and he was telling, ah, boys are thinking Sai Baba is sitting, closing his eyes. What will he know? Is he hearing, not hearing? So everybody was laughing. Suddenly Swami says, where am I? Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha. It was very powerful, very powerful. So
the other, the Sanskrit shloka which Swami used to mention so many times.
Antar Vaishadat Sarvam.
The other one, Sarvadik Sakshi Bhutam.
Ah, Sarvadik Sakshi Bhutam.
Ending with Sarvadik Sakshi Bhutam.
This thing, Brahmanandam,
Brahmanandam Paramasukadam. I mean, talking about the divine within, Swami would say Sarvadhi Sakshi Bhutam. Meaning of that is, Dhi is Buddhi,
Buddhi,
the mind.
Correct.
Sarvadhi Sakshi Bhutam means, he is that Sakshi who sees all the minds. And we were so flabbergasted with Swami revealed what was in the mind, because that was so natural to him. And I think you were telling about that astrologer who could read minds, and he was telling the basic science behind that ability, right?
Yeah.
It's so simple.
It's very simple. You know, here is this astrologer whom I met, and I was talking to him, and then he could just, you just have to sit in front of him. He just looks at you and he starts, he kind of goes into a semi-trance, and then he starts just speaking about you. And you'll be totally amazed. He, if Swami knew your innermost secrets, here was another person who could, if he wanted to, kind of reveal.
Right, right.
Because he would just go in and start talking everything about you. And then he told me.
And without the person even mentioning any of their
without
problems.
Without the person mentioning. In fact, I had a friend who was from Los Angeles. So if you think he's Indian specific, he now he started revealing about that person's grandparents and his parents and all that. It was truly amazing. Like, okay, when Swami does it, we know in the back of our mind, Swami, you're God. But this person was doing it. And then he also very lovingly, he smiled and said, he said, you think I'm doing all this to show off?
Okay.
I'm not doing this to show off. Because the moment you want to show off, you cannot do this. He says, I'm doing all this, I'm telling you all this only with one purpose. That is to tell you that you can also do it. He says, you can do it. Then I asked, how is it possible for me to do such a thing? He said, only two criterion. When a person comes and sits in front of you, you have to 100% think for the welfare of the person in front of you. You have to believe with all your body, mind, buddhi, everything has to be focused on the welfare of the person who is sitting in front of you. Second point is, you should forget yourself. He says, the moment you forget yourself, the moment you forget yourself as an independent entity, as somebody who is sitting in front of somebody, then you know the universal power prompts you, it inspires you, it speaks through you. And then it just goes. So, I mean, when a human being is able to do it, I'm sure many spiritual masters and many, they could just look through you like a piece of glass, possibly. But when Swami does it, of course, there's nothing, you know, very stunning about it. But when he chooses to do it, he chooses it, chooses to do it with love. See, in the same clip, he says, yes, all this is fine. When you look at this unity with love, this unity in creation has to be looked at with love. So when he's correcting you as your inner guru, the personification of your inner guru standing in front of you. He is correcting you. He does it with love. It's not to reveal your innermost, it's your, to your weaknesses. Because he always looked at only the good in you. He always saw only the, he saw himself in you. Then how can he see anything bad? He saw himself, he saw only the goodness in you. So that's the beauty, and I think that's what defines the inner guru.
Right. And that's the beauty of the whole thing. You know, even in this, there is a perfect a beautiful amalgamation between the highest spiritual practices.
Mm-hmm.
Swami is saying Aham Brahmasmi, how to reach Sakshatkar.
Mm.
On the other hand, Swami is talking about loving.
Mm.
And also Swami is talking about karma. Swami is talking about dharma. How do you do dharmic action?
He says body, mind, senses, all these are gifts of God.
Right.
Just use them. Think you are an instrument. Just use them. They are the gifts of God. And so when you start using the gifts of God to please God, that is the purest part of you. The purest part of you is God. And so when you start doing everything as a worship to Him, then automatically your life is sanctified.
Yes, I think when our Mr. Gurumurthy, when he was speaking for one of the functions in the Kulwanthal, he was saying the context of the Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
He said there was one guru who was saying that the essence of the Bhagavad Gita is in the 18th chapter.
Okay.
You know, all that has to be said is in the 18th chapter. Then why do you need 17 chapters before that? He said because that cannot be received unless the confusion of the mind is removed. That is why the first chapter itself is called Arjuna Nishada Yoga.
Correct.
I mean, it has to start from the confusion being removed. In the sense, that is what it is. You know, and Swami is telling you have to do it with love, do it with dharmically. I think it's all a process in karma as to, are you eventually doing what has to be done in the right frame of mind, in the right perspective? And after that is when you're prepared to go beyond. And that's why Swami is saying that when you bring in the picture of love in between, everything automatically falls into place.
Correct.
Swami is saying, do it for the God within, do it for the Guru within, do it out of your love.
Very true, because, you know, even on the spiritual path, when people have taken up to rigorous meditation or to sadhanas and to kundalini yoga and all that, the element which is so essential is love. I mean, the moment you start doing it mechanically or the moment you start doing it for achieving something, it defeats itself. The whole purpose is defeated. Because you are already that. You are only removing what you are not. And that is done only through love. Your love of your higher self, love of your real nature. And here, I think in the beginning of this discourse, he says, you have to be in love with your Atma.
Right.
You have to love your Atma. You have to say that this is mine.
Right.
You have to be and you believe that Atma is... See, I mean, this self-confidence, confidence in Atma is... I mean, it's easy to talk about. But in practical life, nothing in this life should overpower that confidence in the Atma. Means you are putting your entire confidence on Atma, which can neither be seen, neither can be smelt or tasted or touched or felt. But that confidence that, yes, the Atma is and I am that. That's the amazing part.
I think that's the beautiful part because, you know, even when, I think I remember some speaker mentioning this. He said, we often talk about seeing Swami in everybody and carrying out our life. And then, but we didn't see Swami and Swami Himself. You know, as you're saying, to have confidence in the Atma is one thing. But when that self was in the form of Swami, when we saw Him taking care of us, where He gave us proof that He is, you know, taking care of us and we don't need to worry at all, but still we worried. And still we had the doubt whether, you know, are we doing the right thing? Will we be able to accomplish what we accomplish? So it only shows how much more difficult it is to have that self-confidence, which Swami used to say.
Yeah, that's what. As you know, living with Bhagwan and seeing Him, and sometimes this thought would come: what is the best way to utilize His presence? I mean, He's here; He is amongst us. What is the best way to utilize? And unfortunately, at least myself, I never realized. I never I was not privy to this kind of knowledge that Swami is the one who is the indweller. We told it mechanically. Mechanically he says, Swami, you are in my heart, you are my heart, all that. But how to correlate the two and be as open you are to Swami as you would be to yourself?
Right.
If you are maintaining a diary which only you would want to see, and you are so truthful in the diary, you can be so truthful with Bhagwan. There are so many people who could not open up to Him and just speak their heart out. And He just reflects what you are. The moment you hide things from Him, He also reflects that. The moment you are open to Him, He is absolutely open to you.
In fact, I think that does not hold true only for that physical form.
Mm.
In fact, many times, you would find it with yourself. You sit for prayer, you sit in front of Swami's picture. You will find it difficult to open up some things which you do not like about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the challenge where, that is why the Indian culture portrays God in so many forms.
Mm.
He says He is the mother.
Mm.
He tells He is the guru. He says He is the best friend.
Mm.
Somebody who is not going to judge you based on what you are going to share with Him.
Mm.
Who is in the same level of mischief. that is the beauty. And I feel many times Swami has told this, start a conversation with me. Tell me everything.
Yes.
Tell me those things which you would not like to tell me, which you are hesitant to tell me. Tell me even that. That is the process in that book called Sai Darshan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a compilation by one devotee of messages which Swami has given her.
Okay.
In that there is one message, very beautiful.
Mm.
It says that pick up a phone and call up God.
Mm.
Okay, keep calling up. You might get engaged tone, or you might not pick up the call, but keep calling, keep calling, keep calling.
Mm.
And Swami says, one day, God will pick up the call and say, I love you too.
Mm.
what a beautiful message, saying that eventually it will come. Swami will come and Swami says, He will tell, I love you too.
Mm.
Means, He acknowledges that you loved Him, and He also acknowledges that He loves you too.
Very true. In fact, that's what, in putting it in a slightly different nomenclature, Nisargadatta Maharaj says only that all you need is earnestness.
Right. Very true.
Be earnest. Are you earnest about yourself? Just be earnest. And in fact, I think I mentioned this just last week or week before, but it comes back so strongly. The person asks, what about my profession? What about my family? What about my job? Should I give up all that? What should I do? Then he says, when the whole house is on fire, what about a matchstick? What a classic statement. He says, when the whole house is on fire, when nothing in this world matters to you, what does a family and a... So it doesn't mean you give it up. You be a part of it, but you are free. You are... That's it.
And that is so possible with devotion. That's what analogy with Swami keeps... that incident with Swami keeps narrating of Gopikas giving the dust of their feet.
Correct.
There is no fear of the future.
Mm-hmm.
There is no apprehension of, what is going to be the reflection of your action.
Mm.
And that is a show of how strong this feeling of devotion and love is.
Very true. So I think we still have time for the next clip.
Right, I think it's a short clip. Maybe we'll play the title.
Sure.
Kanuka manamu yedo oka samvatsaram varaku kuda guru purnima kosam manu kaachukoni akkarledu.
We need not wait for the sake of guru purnima for 1 year.
Chana chanamulu kuda mana manasunu poornamainatundi manasuga manamu abhiruddhi gaavinchukovali.
Moment to moment we have to transform our mind.
Vishalamaina bhavanni penchukovali.
We have to develop broad mindedness.
Sankuchitamainatundi bhavalu trunchukovali.
We have to remove narrow feelings in us.
Anni parulu endukudunu sarveshratvanni penchukovali.
In everything that we do, we have to develop the divine feeling in us.
Ide nijamainatundi sadhana.
This is true sadhana.
Ante gani prodhana sayankalam japamala pettukoni kurchovatamu dhyanamlo kurchovatam idi oka kaalam ninnayanni manamu anusarincharadu.
Without following this particular path, if we go on turning the japamala only at specific time
into the day, satchatkaram ante emiti?
What do you mean by satchatkara?
Sarvada sarvakaleshu sarvatra harichinda adhe satchatkara.
Real satchatkara is thinking of the Lord Hari.
Satchat akarame satchatkara.
The true form is satchatkara.
Sarva velu endukudunu nenu atma tattvanni ani bhavinchukotame satchatkara.
thinking yourself as atmatattva at all times is really
self realization annaru.
This is called self realization.
Self realization ante emti? Tanantanu gurtinchukotame self realization.
Realizing who we really are.
Self anaga ikkada rendu.
There are two things about this.
Deham anedi okati, atma anedi okati.
One self is relating to body. Another self is
relating to deham anityamainatundi.
This physical body is impermanent.
Atma satyamainatundi.
Atma is permanent.
ఇది ఏకమైనటువంటిది.
దేర్ ఇస్ యూనిటీ.
అదే నా యొక్క స్వరూపము.
దట్ ఈస్ మై రియల్ ఫామ్.
ఇది దేహం నేను కాదు.
దిస్ బాడీ ఐఎమ్ నాట్.
ఈ దేహంతో ఆచరించినటువంటి కర్మల యొక్క ప్రభావం చేత తిరిగి దీనికి పునర్జన్మ వస్తుంటుంది.
ఐ గెట్ వన్ మోర్ బాడీ ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ది అటాచ్మెంట్ టు ది యాక్షన్స్ విచ్ ఐ డూ అండ్ ది రిజల్ట్స్ దేర్ ఆఫ్.
కనుక నీ స్వభావం ఈ స్వభావం.
దిస్ స్వభావం ఈస్ స్వ
ఆత్మ.
స్వ రిఫర్స్ టు
ఆత్మభావమే స్వభావం. కానీ నేను మానవుడు, నేను తప్పులు చేయటం స్వభావము అనుకోవటం చాలా వెర్రితనం.
కన్సిడరింగ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఆత్మ ఈజ్ యువర్ రియల్ నేచర్. ఆన్ ది అదర్ హ్యాండ్ యూ కన్సిడర్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్
తప్పులు చేయటము, పాపములు చేయటము, అపరాధములు చేయటము, ఇవన్నీ కూడా నువ్వు మానవుని యొక్క స్వభావం కాదు, పశువు యొక్క స్వభావం.
కమిటింగ్ మిస్టేక్స్, కమిటింగ్ సిన్స్, హార్మింగ్ అదర్స్ is the nature of animal, not the nature of man.
తప్పులు చేసి నేను మానవుడు, ఇది నా స్వభావము అనుకోవటం అనే చాలా అజ్ఞానం.
ఇట్ ఈస్ రాదర్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ టు సే దట్ యు ఆర్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్.
మానవుడు తప్పులు చేయకూడదు.
మ్యాన్ షుడ్ నాట్ కమిట్ మిస్టేక్స్.
ఏదో తెలిసో తెలియక నువ్వు తప్పులు చేస్తే దానికి పశ్చాత్తాపడి తిరిగి ఆ తప్పులు మరి చేయకుండా చూసుకోవాలి.
Knowingly or unknowingly, if mistakes are committed, one has to repent and one should take care to not commit mistakes.
మనం ఈ నాడు పశువులమని అనిపించుకుంటున్నారు.
Today we are rightly called animals and not men.
పశువు అనగా ఏమిటి? పశ్యతీతి పశువు. బయట దృష్టి కలిగినటువంటిది పశువు.
An animal is one which has always externalized its vision.
మానవుడు అంతర్దృష్టి కలగాలి కావాలి.
Man has to become
అన్ని బయట చూసుకుంటే ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
If one goes on defending oneself, one will never save himself from fall.
Kanuka manavattamulo manam poornanga sadinchukovalsinatundi manasu yokka parivittatane.
What one has to achieve after being a human being is sanctify his own mind, make his mind sacred.
Atma lakshyanni manam abhivruddhi parchukovali.
Develop the feeling of atma in you.
Yedi jarigina tadwarane jarugutundadi kani andyam dinlo praveshinchadaniki veelledani visvesinchali.
We have to firmly believe that whatever you do, it is done with the help of atma alone.
Ee shravana manana nitithyasalu abhruti kavalukutte bhagavat namasmarana cheyali.
You have to chant the name of the Lord. If you have to develop shravana manana nitithyasalu,
ekkadiki vellinappadikini,
wherever you go,
ఈ నాలుక ఇచ్చినందుకు దుర్భాషను మనం మాట్లాడకుండా, దూషణలు చేయకుండా, పరిహాసం చేయకుండా, పరులను నిందించకుండా పవిత్రమైనటువంటి నామాన్ని ఉచ్చరించాలి.
ఆఫ్టర్ హ్యావింగ్ గాట్ దిస్ సీక్రెట్ టంగ్, వీ షుడ్ నాట్ యూజ్ ఇట్ టు క్రిటిసైజ్ అదర్స్, టు టాక్ ఈవిల్ థింగ్స్, టు హర్ట్ అదర్స్ అండ్ హార్మ్ అదర్స్. వీ హావ్ టు చాంట్ ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్.
ఎవరి ఎందుకును మనము దోషములు వెతకరాదు.
వీ షుడ్ నాట్ సర్చ్ ఫర్ ఫాల్ట్.
ఎందుకును ఆత్మనే మనం దర్శించాలి.
We should get a vision of Atma in every human being.
So there was a small clip, and I think what we left is about 10 minutes of that discourse.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll conclude next week.
Sakshatkara is a new term which Swami is elaborating upon here.
Right.
And how he links it, and he says this akara, which is seeing the unity in everybody, that's the only way. So the moment you start seeing unity, seeing divinity in everybody, unity, purity, divinity, and you start seeing divinity in everyone, that's what finally matters. And here again he brings this whole analogy of the body and the atma. There are the two eyes, as Swami has mentioned in the earlier discourses as well. The one eye is pertaining to the body, that is the E by E,
right.
And the other eye is the single eye, that is the permanent. So
beautifully Swami again brings the difference between human and animal, and of course that reiteration of the point that to err is human.
Yeah, he says that's not right.
That's not at all acceptable.
Just
because you're a human being, it doesn't give you any license to do mistakes and get away with it.
Correct.
And so wonderfully, Swami says, Pashu.
Mm.
He says, today we are celebrating ourselves as animal. Mm. We call ourselves social animals.
Correct.
And Swami is saying, Pashyati iti Pashu.
Mm.
That which goes by what it sees is an animal.
Mm.
And that which does not have that inner vision.
Mm.
It's a beautiful, because even in the discourse on the senses, mm-hmm. I think the third or fourth discourse in that series, Swami mentions this, that which goes by everything which is relating to the senses, it's only an animal.
That's right. In fact, we are making the posters for this discourse.
Right, you must, that must be fresh in your mind.
Discourse 4, we have completed three discourses in the poster series. And in the fourth discourse, Swami exactly the same thing. He says Pashu and Pashupati.
Right.
Pashu is the one who has external vision. Pashupati is the one who has internal vision.
Talking about Pashu and Pashupati, it just reminds me of an article we have uploaded today,
okay,
which is on vegetarianism.
Okay.
You know, because that is one theme which is so very dear to Swami.
Mm.
On many, many occasions, in fact, to be specific, during Swami's 69th birthday.
Correct.
Swami said, people keep coming and telling me, happy birthday, happy birthday.
Mm.
They say, Swami, we wish to give you something.
Mm.
Swami says, what gift can you give me? Then in the end of the discourse, Swami says, okay, if you really want to give me a gift, give me three gifts.
Correct.
He says, never take up smoking, never drink, never eat non-vegetarian food.
Mm.
Because in that discourse entirely, Swami says this. He says, see, all your spiritual effort is to move away from this animal nature and to dwell in this human nature and reach out to divine nature.
Mm.
But then when you eat food which is going to drag you back to this animal nature, what is the point of all this?
Mm.
You know, you're doing something which is so counterproductive to the goal of life itself. And Swami says, how the food which you eat, I think in that discourse, dear listeners, if you're following the poster series, it's a wonderful discourse. I think the posters which are coming out are quite beautiful, to say the least. Because, you know, in that Swami says that how food affects your thinking.
Correct.
How all the things which the sense has taken affect your thinking.
Yes.
And it's so very beautifully interconnected, all that.
And what exactly is food? He says it's not just food that you eat. It's
exactly.
Food that comes in through all the senses.
Right.
And then very interestingly, Swami says, Shravanam Manana Nididhyasana, to sustain and to actually be following this, you need to chant the name of the Lord and develop Atma Bhava. And he says, the tongue which is given to you, you should not misuse it by criticizing others or talking ill of others. Instead, use it to chant the name of the Lord. And then it, I think Swami has mentioned this before also, where this I that we all refer to as ourselves, that I is Atman, and that I is common in all. And by chanting the name of the Lord, you develop lot of love and attachment to Him, and that is in turn trying to develop love and attachment to yourself,
right,
to the Atman, and then you become one with Him.
No, it's quite simple. And generally, going by a worldly example, when you elect a person, a politician as your leader, the idea is, see, politics is so complex.
Mm-hmm.
External affairs is there. You have your relationship with other countries. It's so complex.
Mm-hmm.
No common man can actually understand what is the best thing to do for each scenario which comes up, you know, in the level of national governance. But you go and select a leader or a group of individuals whom you feel that they will take the right decision at every time.
Correct.
Okay. So here, what Swami is saying is either you completely mitigate your mind, sublimate your mind, and ensure that your Atma is ruling your intelligence completely, which is nothing but going within and in the path of Advaita, you remove all the burdens and obstacles which come in your way. Or you pledge your allegiance to somebody who is as pure as the Atma himself, which is nothing but the divinity.
The divinity.
You know, what the Atma within is expressed or manifests as the God outside. So Swami says, okay, you start praying to the Lord, surrendering to the Lord. Make Him the source of all your thoughts.
True. In fact, when I was reading a little bit about Rabindranath Tagore, he has a very, very different and very beautiful, I mean, from his point of view, he says, just be one with creativity, be one with looking at the freshness in creation, be one with loving, be one with, you know, considering everything as yourself. And See, when you are earnest, see, the whole point is to be earnest. When you're earnest, I'm sure you're bound to follow the right path. And you will be led automatically by your inner guru. You know, this is a poem which I just picked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's from one of his collections from the later poems.
Okay.
And it's philosophy. The poem reads exactly what Swami has been mentioning here. It's very interesting. He says, "The eye that floats along the wave of time, from a distance I watch him." The eye that floats along the wave of time, from a distance I watch him. He's just a witness. He says, with the dust and the water, with the fruit and the flower, with the all, he's rushing forward. He's always on the surface, tossed by the waves and dancing to the rhythm of joy and suffering. The least loss makes him suffer. The least wound hurts him. Him I see from afar. That I is not my real self. I am still within myself. I do not float in the stream of death. I am free. I am desireless. I am peace. I am illumined. Him I see from afar. Isn't that amazing?
Beautiful.
He says, the I that is tossed in this ups and downs of time and in all that, the way he has written it, I watch him.
Very beautiful.
Very beautiful.
In fact, that's what I think we've mentioned this before. It's a real incident where a disciple who is a businessman goes to his guru, his spiritual master, and he says that, "Master, my mind is so troubled. There's so much of confusion in my mind, all that." So the master tells him that, "See, if you know that your mind is troubled, then you're not troubled. Your mind is troubled. Okay, you're seeing the troubled state of your mind. So don't worry, you're not troubled." This man thinks of it and he says, "Yes, definitely it's beautiful logic." Goes back. Then he comes back and tells the master. He says, "Master, your words were golden. Now I really have got over it. Because I just see the state of my troubled mind. I'm so happy now. I'm so relieved. I'm so peaceful." And the master says, "No, you're not peaceful. You're seeing the peaceful state of your mind."
Mind.
You know, to stay away, as you're saying, that, the wound hurts him. The slightest joy also gives elation. But to stay away and just see it.
Very beautiful words, no?
Right.
The eye that floats along the wave of time, from a distance I watch him. With the dust and the water, with the fruit and the flower, with the all, he's rushing forward. He's always on the surface, tossed by waves and dancing to the rhythm. Him I see from afar. Amazing.
It's beautiful. I think we must conclude with those immortal words of Rabindranath Tagore. So dear listeners, as we mentioned, there's 10 more minutes in this discourse to go through that we will go through next week. So next week will be the last episode of our series, Shravanam Mananam Nitadhyasanam. We would invite all of you to join us, and it is with much gratitude we thank Swami that he's given us this opportunity. And through this opportunity, we have going through what we have missed. What we were there, we heard, but we missed. And Swami is giving us an opportunity to relive all those beautiful messages that he gave us. And I'm sure that you all too find this journey very fruitful. On behalf of Sai Prakash, on behalf of myself, Prem, we offer this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet and thank all of you for being with us. A short while from now, you'll have the last program of the day coming your way, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside with Brother Bishu. So till we meet you next week for the next episode and the last episode of Shravanam Mananam Nitadhyasanam, this is Prem and Sai Prakash taking your leave. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.